Before I get to the message this morning, I'm going to talk about our vision, and I'm really excited to talk about the vision for 2026 as we go in. I'm really bummed I wasn't here last week. I was visiting our son. It was family weekend at college, and I got a chance to visit him. You know, when your kids leave, that's a really sad thing. But when you see them in the place that they're in and see them thriving, it's a really good thing. So I was grateful to be able to experience that. But, you know, I think it's important when things happen in the world that your church just address them and to name them. And I want to name something. It's Black History Month. And some people say, why do we need a Black History Month? I think it's one of those things like Lent where you need the reminder. All year, we should focus on Black history because it's a part of our history collectively. But you need a reminder. But today, I want to name something that I don't think should have to be named, but I'm going to name it. And that is racism is antithetical to Jesus. It is against who Christ calls us to be in the world. And our church does a lot of work to name publicly that we believe that God deeply loves all people. So again, I don't think you always need me to say that. But I want to name that this morning when I'm here with you, that the gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to be better. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, friends, I wonder if you might pray with me and for me. Oh, gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, for how you love us, for the beauty of your creation and all of the different cultures and all of the different people who don't look the same. God, for the backgrounds, for the gifts that you have given people that are so different. And I pray today, God, that as I speak about this church's vision for 2026, that you would speak through me. God, that whether today is our first time here at Crossroads or our 10,000th time, that you would push us, that you would challenge us, that you would encourage us to live into your vision. So Holy Spirit, as I speak today, speak through me. Give everyone who's here and online ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understanding. Might our hearts be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do. And for goodness sakes, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is Vision Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the whole year where we talk about who God is calling us to be and how God is calling us to live into this vision in 2026. And I want to tell you, there are some organizations where the pastor goes off and they go into a room and they pray and God gives them the vision. And I say, isn't that a great world, right? Where the pastor can just go. We don't do that here. We do vision amongst the people and we listen and we have great leadership teams. And there's one specific body whose role is to make sure that we're living into our vision throughout the year. So I want to ask right now, if you are part of the church council, which is the visionary body of the church, would you stand up? Don't be shy, okay? Now you stay standing up, don't sit down, because they didn't do this in a vacuum. It wasn't just the church council that came up with this vision. The church council, we do all of our leadership teams together. So if you're part of the staff relations team responsible for staffing and making sure that our vision is lived out, will you stand up? If you're part of that team, okay. We're getting more. If you are part of the finance team, making sure that we faithfully live into that vision with our finances and dream big, would you stand up? Oh, finance team. They were all at nine. They wake up early. There we go. Okay, if you're part of our board of directors, responsible for the physical building and for the liability and all those things, would you stand up? Okay, and finally, if you're part of the church staff, helping live out this day to day, would you stand up? All right, friends, I want you to see these people. If anything I say today bothers you, please talk to one of them. Okay, no. In all seriousness, though, these folks brought this. Thank you. Let's give them a hand for what they do. Here's what I want to say about these people. These are faithful people who are listening for God's call and God's voice for our church. Who does God call us to be? How do we live into our value of unlimited welcome beyond the walls of the church? How do we help people experience that grace of God? I want to say a word about mission, about our mission here at Crossroads. The mission of Crossroads is something that we pay attention to every single day. There are organizations where they'll have a mission and you'll go say, what's your mission? And they'll say, let me go check the website. No one should have to check the website to know the mission of a church. Look at the wall. The wall out there shares our mission, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I want you to know that we live into the mission and the vision in this church really, really importantly. There's a guy named Max Dupree who is a CEO of a furniture company. I've been to Furniture Land last week, High Point, North Carolina. It's the furniture capital of the world. Although furniture was not cheap, it was very expensive, but I digress. Back to furniture, Max Dupree. He said this about vision, and I think it's really, really important. He said, you don't have vision just because you have an idea. If you don't have risk, you probably just have an idea. Y'all, we have to be risky for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To live into this big, bold vision that God has called us to. And I want to tell you, I think you have leaders that are risky, that want to take big, bold dreams and say, God, this is your dream. How do we live into it? How do we respond to your dream for the church now? I want to name something. If we have a big, bold vision and we have a big, bold dream, it's going to be messy. It's going to be complex. It is not going to be simple. And I will tell you, in my 5 years here, it has been no way, shape, or form simple. It's complex. And if you look and you read the gospel and you read the stories of Jesus Christ, if you think about the reckless love that we're going to talk about next week, it is always risky. It's always complex. It means that we have a vision where we want to love people from different economic backgrounds. We want to love people from different cultural backgrounds. We want to love people who identify in different sexualities. We want to love every single person because Jesus calls us to. And how we live into that vision is risky, and it's important. Now, I said the mission was back there on the wall. I want to share it with you because I think as often as we can share our mission, it's really important. Our mission is transforming the world one person, one family, and one community at a time through the unconditional love of Jesus. Some people get stuck on that word transform. What do we mean by that? There are some churches, there are some country clubs, there are some places that you walk into that say, we want to transform you to look exactly like we do. That's not our desire. Our desire is that you become the very best version of you who God created you to be. The very best version of you that God created you to be. And doggone it, we shouldn't tell you what that looks like. Because God created each of us uniquely, wired us differently, designed us differently, and that's what makes the beauty of the quilt. Now back to this vision. Thank you for leaving it up there. Oh, go back. See what I did? I messed you up. Thank you for leaving it up there. I think this is a strong mission for who God calls us to be. I think this is a bold mission. I think it leads us towards an incredible future. I want you to think for a minute. If you're new here, you don't have to think too long. But if you were here for 2025, I want you to think for a minute. We had this dream that God called us to step into health and wellness and mental health and wellness. And that was the vision that God had for us. And do you know, last year, with the help of the wonderful Jennifer Marshall and the team that works with her, we served 1,000 people with mental health and wellness. Y'all, yes. Like, seriously. And this thing launched, and beautiful things have happened, and beautiful stories have come out of it. We launched this thing called a 1+1 Life. And listen, not everything's about launching programs. That's not it at all. But we had heard from so many people in our community that they longed to volunteer. They longed to make a difference in the world. So we launched this 1+1 lifestyle, and it's literally changing communities around us. We get stories constantly of people's lives who are being transformed because you and the people in our communities are volunteering. That 1+1 lifestyle is changing people's lives, and we're going to step even more into that. We kept track of all the people who told us they were here. More than 500 new people walked through these doors last year, many of them connecting to Crossroads and saying, this is our home, because they felt loved, because these folks felt like there was something here that said, you matter. Your story matters, again, no matter what your background is. The ways that we're serving our local community have exploded. We have more partnerships. I literally have to go check with Susie and Patty almost every day to say, how many partnerships do we have now? And actually, LCPS, Loudoun County Public Schools, once a year has this big breakfast where they give out about 5 awards to community partners. About 800 people are at this breakfast, And Crossroads is receiving one of those 5 awards this next year because of the work that you are doing to transform the world. Friends, this is bold vision. I recently had a meeting. A consultant came to meet with me. And usually, you know what consultants want? Money, right? Let's be honest. That's what they do. I was a consultant at one point in time. They want money. And she came and she said, hey, I'd love to meet with you. She said, because I've heard about what Crossroads is doing. Now, here's what's fascinating. I didn't know how. And frankly, I was waiting the whole time for her to ask me for the money. And she sat down with me and she said, I want you to understand what's going on in this church is not normal. What's happening in this church is not normal. She said, I'm working with so many churches who bring me in because they have no new people coming to church. She said, I'm working with so many churches who bring me in because they don't know how to reach their local community. I'm working with so many churches that actually don't love all people. They'll put a sign out front that says, you're welcome here, but don't really welcome all people. And she said, what's happening in this church is not normal. And I kind of looked at her and laughed, and I said, you know what? I've been here 5 years. There's nothing normal about these people. Nothing. Thanks be to God. There's nothing normal. So the church council, the staff, along with myself, we've been spending quite a time over the last year figuring out how we're going to live more deeply into this mission in 2026. Now, I'm going to share about that, and I'm going to share some big highlight pieces. I'm not going to get into all the details. I'm going to share some of that. But before I do, I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture, a part of the Bible that comes in Acts chapter 4. And it's a story. I'm going to give you just a little bit of context. You can leave it up there. It's a story where Jesus has died, he's resurrected, he's gone on, and the disciples are back, and they're trying to do really important work. In fact, people are being raised from the dead, the sick are being healed, and what they're doing is they're running into time and time again religious leaders who don't like what's happening. Religious leaders who are saying, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Religious leaders who are trying to protect the organization. And these leaders specifically that they're interacting with today are the Sadducees. By the way, the same religious leaders who had Jesus killed. So I want you to hear this text under all of that background. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them. They were incensed that the apostles were teaching the people and announcing that the resurrection of the dead was happening because of Jesus. They seized Peter and John and put them in prison until the next day. It was already evening. Many who heard the word became believers, and their number grew to about 5,000. The next day, the leaders, elders, and legal experts, oh, that's a hard one, legal experts, gathered in Jerusalem along with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and asked, by what power or in what name do you do this? Then Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, answered, leaders of the people and elders, are we being examined today because something good was done for a sick person? A good deed that healed him? If so, then you and all the people of Israel need to know that this man stands healthy before you because of the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He has become the cornerstone. Salvation can be found in no one else. Throughout the whole world, no other name has been given among humans through which we must be saved. The council was caught by surprise by their confidence, by the confidence with which Peter and John spoke. After all, they understood that these apostles were uneducated and inexperienced. They also recognized that they had been followers of Jesus. Wow, what a story. I mean, powerful things are happening before this. People are being raised from the dead. A man that the Bible describes as crippled is walking again. And Peter and John come to tell the story. They come to share the excitement. And as they come and say these beautiful, wonderful things are happening, the religious leaders go, oh, we can't have them telling this story. What if people start to follow that? What if people start to believe that people can be healed? What if people start to believe that faith should be more than our religious practices? What if this challenges what we're doing. I mean, think about this story for a minute. They find themselves in this difficult place because they're sharing good news. Now, it's interesting. It seems to be that they're the ones being charged and they're the ones that the Sadducees are coming with. And they say, oh, let's be clear. This is not us. This is that Jesus. Jesus, the one who you decided not to connect yourself with. Essentially, Peter and John are here going, you hooked to the wrong horse. Because this, the rock on which the future will be held, you decided that wasn't valuable. You decided to walk away from it. They're talking about Jesus' ability to heal the dead, heal the sick, and this threatens the message of the religious leaders. And they're bothered by it. So what do they do? Now, I just take a pause here. I think it's funny that the scripture said it was already evening. It wants you to know they weren't in jail very long. But just a little bit, just to make them think. So what is happening? They throw Peter and John in jail. Why? Because they're terrified of the movement. They're terrified of the lives that are being transformed. They're terrified of the change that is happening. So the next day they come to the court and it says this, they had Peter and John brought before them and asked, by what power or in what name did you do this? And I love the boldness with which Peter answers. I mean, it is bold. This is a bold thing to say. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, answered, standing in front of this high court and all these religious leaders, leaders of the people and elders, are we being examined today because something good was done for a sick person, a good deed that healed him? If so, then you and all the people of Israel need to know that this man stands healthy before you because of the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He has become the cornerstone. You silly people. It's Jesus. Jesus, the one who can transform the world. Jesus, the one who can heal the sick. Jesus, the one who calls us to love all people, even the ones that you reject. And he's saying, you made the wrong decision, religious leaders. Because we are being called to love the world and serve the world. And he says, you've really misunderstood. Now, see, they're afraid because the leaders are afraid because Peter and John are messing with their business. They're messing and getting all up in their business. And that's why I love what they say at the end. The council was caught by surprise by the confidence with which Peter and John spoke. After all, they understood that these apostles were stupid. I mean, that's what it's saying, right? They're like, these guys are dummies. They're not as smart as we are. They don't know all the law the way we know it. I mean, they were disciples, but they were after a rabbi who chose uneducated people. And they only studied for 3 years. They didn't study. And then their rabbi left them. I mean, out of the picture. And for goodness sakes, they couldn't do but so good because they're uneducated. You know what's funny? When we first went out and listened to the community and we heard God saying, I want you to do something about mental health and wellness, I started telling people around me and they said, hey, you're stupid. Seriously. They said, your church, really? You're going to do something about that? I want you to ask the 1,000 people whose lives were changed last year. How'd that go? Right? I want you to ask the people whose lives are being transformed by it. Because when you do risky things, people are going to say you're being stupid. They're going to say, you don't know enough. You know what? We did not know enough. And we are learning as we go. I think this passage, as it's shared about the early church, and by the way, did you notice it say again, and God added thousands of people to what they were doing? I think this passage calls us to something. I think it calls us to the phrase that we're using this year, to be bold. It calls us not to shrink when there are people around us going, really, you're going to do that? Be bold. Be bold for who God calls us to be. That's our mission on the wall, and each year we write a vision for how we're going to get to that mission. And I want you to see what 2026 is, because I think this by December 31, 2026, we will fully embrace the 1+1 lifestyle across the Crossroads community and greater community. That people out in our world would know what it means to be a 1+1 person, fostering a culture of wellness, serving, and transformation, and boldly get out of the way so that God can do what God does. That's bold. That's a bold vision. But you have to have a bold vision if you have a bold mission. And if you want to live into a bold mission of transforming the world, you have to discern all the time how you're going to move closer and closer towards that. So I'm going to share some high-level stuff with you this morning. High-level ways that we're going to do it. Here's the first thing. We believe that God is calling us to be bold in creating pathways to engagement. What do I mean by that? We think 2026 is the year that we call ourselves to go deeper. Deeper in our love for God and deeper in our love for neighbor. We want to grow closer and closer to Jesus in 2026. We want to, as it says in the scripture, be so close to Jesus that the dust on his sandals is all over us. We want to be those people who boldly speak out against injustice, who boldly speak out against making sure that people are left behind for the sake of the institution. We want to be bold in creating pathways that every person who walks through these doors, and even those who don't, feels like they can find a home here and a place of connection. We're trying to create even more groups that we call affinity groups. It doesn't really matter what they're called, but that meet you in your zone of life where you are. Just yesterday, our young families met up and connected. You know who need people? Young families. I remember when we were in that zone. You know who else need people? People whose kids are all about to leave the house. We need people too, right? We need people to walk with. So we think there are different zones of life that it's easier to walk through life with. So we want to create clear pathways to engagement. The way I sort of like to talk about it is we want on-ramps for everybody. This is not a highway that is exclusionary. It's an inclusive highway. We want to help everybody figure out how to get on the pathway to engagement. Here's the second thing. Branding and communications. You may say, really? Yeah. We want the world to know about what we're doing. We want to share that so that the world knows about the mental health and wellness initiatives we have. We want to share that so that the world knows about Volunteer Loudoun. We want to up the connection. We want to do those things. And one of the things that our SRT, our staff relations team, which is the personnel committee, said last year was, if we want to do that, we've got to bring somebody on our team that focuses on a digital strategy for reaching new people. We've got to bring somebody on. So we're going to hire this year a digital marketing specialist. I don't even know what that is, but I know it's somebody that does really beautiful things to help us reach the community because we want people to know that there is a church. Just after the 9 o'clock, we had tea with Tim, and there was a guy that came in, and he's recently come to this country, and he was sitting in that room, and he said, you know, my family's been here for 10 years, but I've recently come. I had a business where I came from. And he said, I thought all churches were the same. And he said, I'm coming to quickly realize that's not true. We want people to know that we're not normal, that we're different. We long for people to know that. Here's the third thing. We want to boldly live into the Wellness for the Future campaign. We're going to share an update soon about that that I think is going to be really exciting to you. But one of the big updates I want to share with you is I think in the next 12 months, we're going to break ground on a building. For the sake of the kingdom of God, so that people can see. Yeah, you can clap. It's okay. It's all right. Because beautiful things are happening right now, but think about how much more will happen when we have a space that's dedicated that tells this community, you are loved, you are welcome, and we will walk with you. It's gonna be messy. Our parking lot's gonna be messy. It's gonna be hard to find parking, but it's all for Jesus. It's going to be hard for the preschool to navigate, but it's all for Jesus, and we will do this together. We're also going to dive more deeply into Volunteer Loudoun and create more partnerships and more groups and get even more connected because that's what Jesus calls us to do, and we're going to be bold in doing that. You love that too, don't you? I'm with you. And finally, and this one seems maybe to you the least exciting, but is really, really important. We're going to focus on structure and governance. How do we focus on this physical building? Guess what? A lot is going to happen here to make people feel more welcome. This platform is going to be lowered and changed, and there's going to be a ramp so people can get up here so we don't have only certain people that can participate. You're going to see changes in the kitchen to make it more welcoming for the guests. You're going to see changes in the bathroom. We're going to create a single bathroom out here so that all people can go to the bathroom And we have a place for all people. Y'all, we cannot say that we love all people and have exclusionary practices in our church. We will make this space even more welcoming to our community. And you clap. Oh, you clap. But it's going to be dirty. It's going to be messy. And many of you have already been generous, and we need even more people to be generous to make it happen, because it's going to be beautiful. You're going to walk in the sanctuary one day and you're going to say, oh, things have changed. And it's not going to be a perfect day for all of our AV stuff. And you're going to say, but it's all for Jesus. You're going to walk into the bathrooms and they're probably going to be messy. You might even have to use bathrooms down the hall. Oh, all for Jesus, right? All of this stuff. And we're going to look at our structure and say, is our leadership structure the right structure? We started to step into that, but is it the structure that takes us into the next place? All of this is because we sense deeply that God has called us to be bold. So I'm intentionally not giving you 1,000 steps and all these things here. I want you to see this vision that God calls us to be bold. Being bold has costs, friends. Being bold means you stand up for things that matter. Being bold means you stand up for people that are marginalized on the outside of society. I want to encourage you to take your phone out real quickly. Take it out. This is a Menti poll. If you don't know what they are, ask your friend. If you don't have a friend, ask somebody to be your friend right beside you. But I want you to scan that QR code, and I want to invite you to put one word, not two, not three, not four, just one. When you think of boldness and you've just heard this, what is something that God might be calling us towards? What is a word as you think about 2026, as you think about boldness, what is a word that God might be calling us towards? What you'll see in just a second, you'll see all of this stuff start to populate the screen. Look at those words. If they're bigger, that means more people said them. So as you see it, gosh, it works out really well when there's a big word in the middle that's your next series that you're going to preach on, doesn't it? I want you to see these words: engagement, acceptance, community, courage, serve, love, inclusion, generosity, welcoming. That's going to keep populating, friends. God is calling us. There's no question in my mind. God is calling us to be bold in 2026, to love more deeply, to love more intentionally, to help more people see that the church is a community of love and grace. And as good friends who are part of our leadership team have told me, it will be messy. But thanks be to God, we're not normal, right? That's my gratitude to God.